Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Just thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here tonight. If you're watching us on Facebook tonight, thank you for being with us even there on Facebook. We're looking forward to spending a few minutes of just refuge. Let everything else go for a few minutes tonight. I know that I've been looking forward to this today. We're going to spend some time reading tonight. I would encourage you to grab your Bible tonight because we're going to read a lot of scripture tonight. It's all going to be out of Genesis chapter number 41. But in order for us to get to the point that we want to get to with Joseph, we got to continue to read the story of Joseph. So we'll get into Genesis chapter number 41 here in just a few moments. But before we do, I do want to go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask Him to bless as we read tonight and help me to have my thoughts together. But before we do that, before we get into the scripture, if you have a prayer request that you want to leave there in the comment section, or if you need to send us something there on our page, feel free to do that, and we'll do our best to be praying for your needs, and we'll share needs together. For you that are here in person, we'll share some needs before we dismiss tonight. But looking forward to what God has for us tonight in Genesis chapter number 41. I'm going to do my best to not comment a whole lot tonight so we can get through this scripture, and I don't want to just get through it, but just to read the story of Joseph. Then maybe we'll come back and visit a few points next week, and we may move on to another part of I don't like to call it a story, but the event in the Bible. So Genesis 41, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house tonight. And God, with everything that goes on in our lives, God, in our families and in our work situations and then in our country and the different things that's going on, man, it feels good to be in your house tonight. It feels good to be in your presence. You said where two or three were come together in your name, that you would be in the midst. And God, I pray that you'll help us to always to do that, that we come with one thing in common, that was we look to you and we look to worship you and we look to learn of you. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to always to do that as we come into this place. And God, I pray for all the ones who may be watching on Facebook tonight. I pray that you'll bless them, God. I pray that you'll just help everything in their house to settle for a few moments and that they can study with us tonight. And God, I pray that you'll give them that refuge right there in their home. God, we pray most of all for our lost loved ones, that they'll see a need for a Savior. God, I pray for all the ones who are sick, the ones that's been in the hospital, the ones who have been affected by COVID. God, you know all of the needs, and we pray, dear Father, that you'll just touch, and God, that you'll work miracles where you see fit, and help us always, God, to pray for your will and to seek your will in all these things. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you again for the opportunity to be here tonight. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Genesis chapter number 41. Again, we're going to go ahead and read the whole chapter of Genesis chapter number 41 tonight. Sometimes I get a little excited and read really fast. I'm going to try to just stay calm and let's share some scripture together. As I was thinking about going and reading this book, this chapter in Genesis tonight, I was thinking, you know, I don't want to bore everybody to death, but I got to thinking about it. And when you look at God's Word and see how God's Word has been preserved, I mean, we're reading things that happened a long time ago, and it's been preserved. And I don't know what to call it other than a story or an event, but we know this really happened, and it's been preserved all of this time, and God's Word has been preserved. We should never be bored when we get into God's Word and read it, because there's amazing things that's happened in God's Word. And when you see how this took place, and we know as we've been studying Joseph, when we know how he was the favorite there at home and how he ended up in a pit, then he ended up at Potiphar's, then he ended up in prison, and now here tonight he's going to be called to the palace. So let's read Genesis chapter number 41. If you recall, as Joseph was in prison there because of the way that he was lied about, we won't go back too far, but as Joseph was lied about and he ended up in prison, and we know how the two guys there in prison had a dream, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and he told the butler, he said, be sure you remember me. When you get out of here and you get back to doing your normal thing, you remember me and remember that I was able to interpret that dream. Well, now here we are in chapter number 41, verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, it's been 2 years. He has been forgotten about for 2 whole years. I said I wasn't going to comment tonight, didn't I? It's been 2 full years since he interpreted the dream and told the butler, don't forget me, and now he's still in prison. So it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Let me stop again. I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to comment. So we were talking a little bit on Sunday morning, and we've been talking a little bit through this study on Joseph, how that God is in control and everything, and that we know that we serve an omniscient, omnipotent God. He knows everything. He is everywhere at all times. And there is a sovereign will of God. Why didn't God allow Pharaoh to dream this dream 2 years before this? I don't know. I can't answer that question. I'm just throwing it out there. But what I want to say is this. Is no matter why God chose to let it go 2 full years before Pharaoh dreamed this dream, and then the butler all of a sudden here in a minute, he's going to remember whatever God's reason for that. I want to be disciplined enough as a Christian that whatever God is doing, that I trust God's will and follow God's will in my life. I want to become disciplined like that in my life, that instead of saying, God, why didn't you do this? And then say, God, you did it. I'm going to trust you in this. And God, I just want to trust your will in my life. So here it is. It's been 2 full years. That's all the comment I'm going to do. God, forgive me for telling the story. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there come up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and flat, fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. That kind is cows. So here we got some cows that come up. And the Bible says that they are fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine, or cows, came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. So as Pharaoh's having this dream, we see there are 7 fat cows that come up, out, and they eat in the meadow, and then there's 7 that come out, and they look sickly, and they're skinny, and they go over, and they eat up the healthy, fat-looking cows, and Pharaoh woke up. Now, I would assume that Pharaoh, as he wakes up, he's probably in one of those cold sweats, says, what in the world? That was a terrible dream. You ever had those dreams that seem so real that you actually almost get up and go, okay, was this real, or is this just a dream? And I would assume maybe that's how Pharaoh felt as he woke up here in verse number 4. So let's move on to verse number 5. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was dream. Again, he has this terrible dream, and he wakes up, and he's like, whew, I'm glad that's just a dream. Verse number 8, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So as he has this dream, and now he's all troubled inside, he calls for all of his magicians and wants somebody to tell him what these dreams mean, because he's tore up about it. He realizes that it's probably something bigger than eating something right before he went to bed. And as he's wanting to know what this dream is, nobody can interpret the dream. Verse number 9, then spake the chief butler. Well, hallelujah, butler. You're about to come through. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. He had an aha moment. The butler, after 2 years, he's like, oh, hang on a minute. I remember something. Pharaoh was wroth in his servants and put me inward in captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. You remember the 2 dreams, the butler and the baker, and one of them ended up dying, and the other ended up back in the place that he came from. And all of a sudden, because Pharaoh has this dream and nobody can interpret the dream, he remembers Joseph down there in prison. Verse number 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Now I want you to notice in verse number 14, as Joseph is called on, he didn't get all pouty. He didn't get all, well, I've been down there for 2 years. Why did you leave me down there for 2 years? When Joseph was called on, and God had a plan for Joseph, Joseph was ready to move into the plan that God had for him. And that's also a desire of mine, is that whatever God's will is for my life, that I will be ready to step into that plan at any time. A lot of times, I know how I am. I try my best to be in God's will, and I try my best to know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. But in doing that, sometimes I believe that I miss opportunities that God wants me to have. I believe that sometimes that God has something for me to do, like he did Joseph right here. And when they come and got Joseph, the Bible says that he shaved. They came hastily, and he said he'd come up out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, and he changed his raiment, and he's ready to go do what he was supposed to do. I'm afraid a lot of times in my life, as God has things that he has for me to do, that I sit back and go, well, I don't know if I'm capable. I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I can do this. And I miss opportunities that God has for me in my life. I know sometimes it seems like we almost have to be begged for us to do something for God. Why in the world? I mean, if God gives you something to do as a Christian, why in the world would somebody have to continue just to try to drag it out of you and drag it out of you? I'm glad that Joseph was ready to step into the plan that God had for him here. How many times have you had an opportunity to witness to somebody? Have you had an opportunity to give somebody else the gospel? And instead of stepping up to the plate and giving the gospel and telling them about Jesus Christ, we sit back and go, well, you know, how would you like to come to church with me? We'll let the preacher tell you the gospel. And I will always try to do my best, no matter what I preach on Sunday morning. At some point in time, I'll do my best to give the gospel, because the most important thing that can happen when we meet here on Sunday mornings or at any other time is for somebody that don't know Jesus Christ to hear the gospel, for God to speak to their heart, and them to come to know Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. That's the most important thing that can happen here. So I always try to do that. But I believe that as we go day in and day out, that there are times when God wants us to individually share the gospel with somebody, to give them a testimony, or maybe just to lift them up and encourage them a little bit in the Lord. And instead of doing what we should be doing, we pass the buck to someone else, or we step back and say, well, I don't know if I'm capable of doing that. Do you know what God's done for you? Do you know, do you remember the day that you got saved? If you do, then you have something that you can share with somebody that's lost. I'm glad that Joseph was ready to step in to God's plan. Verse number 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I'm not commenting, just so y'all know. But when we look at verse number 16, I'm glad that again Joseph didn't say, oh, y'all just stand back, fellas. I've got this. I know that I can interpret this dream. Yeah, I interpreted the bakers. I interpreted the butlers. And Pharaoh, you just wait just a minute. You watch me go. You know, a lot of times we get me in the way. When I want to be just like Joseph right here and say, you know what? Pharaoh said, verse number 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. If you get anything, it's going to be because of God. And I will say this without a doubt, because again, I went back and watched myself preach and listened to myself preach. If you get anything from my preaching, I promise you it's because of God. And it's because of his Holy Spirit taking his word and speaking to our hearts. Verse number 17, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there come up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. Now, some of us, we read this and we don't really take in the concept of how horrible of a dream this is. But I promise you, if Josh and Megan Watson had this dream, it would just disturb them to no end. What's going to happen to my farm? What's going on? And these guys that are out here and they're raising these crops for their living, this would mean something to them. Verse number 20, and the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. Not only did they eat the fat cows, But they were still lean and sickly looking after they ate them. Verse number 22, and I saw my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. So, and now Pharaoh has told Joseph his dream in verse number 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. He's saying both of these dreams may mean the same thing. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land. And there shall be a rise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. He said, you're going to have seven really good years. And right behind, which was represented by the seven fat cows and the seven good ears. And then right behind them, represented by the seven ill-fleshed cows or sickly-looking cows that ate the good looking cows and the ears that came up and overtook the other ears, he said, you're going to have 7 years of famine. And they're getting this warning from God in verse number 32. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. More or less, Joseph's looking at him in verse number 32, and he says, you can mark her down. This is going to happen. And you know, that's the way it is with God's word. We should never doubt God's word. We should never read something in here and go, well, you know, I don't know if this is really going to happen. I knew the Bible says this and the Bible says that. Look, if God's word says it, you can absolutely count on it, mark it down. It's going to take place. And we're starting to see some things. We've been seeing some things for years that is. We can look back and go, well, that's what God's word says. Well, aha. Yeah, we can have an aha moment. Yes, that God said it's going to happen. It's going to take place. Verse number 33, I think, is where we're at. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Man, wasn't it great that God didn't just give Joseph the interpretation of the dream? God didn't just say, Joseph, I'm going to let you look into this dream, and I'm going to let you be able to interpret the dream to Pharaoh. But he also said, and I'm going to give you the answer that goes along. I'm going to give you the preparation that goes along with that. Well, you know what? You say, well, wouldn't it be nice if God had done that for us? If we had known some things that took place in this past year, there were some things I would have done different. Any of y'all? Absolutely. If we had known that COVID was going to come along and some different things was going to take place in this past year, then 2 years ago, I would have done some things a little different to prepare for that. But we didn't know that. But here's the thing, is God has told us about some things that are going to happen in our life. God has told us about some things that is going to happen in our eternity. Now it is up to us to make the preparation for that, because he gave us the answer also in his son, Jesus Christ. Verse number 36. Is that where we're at? Okay, and the food, if y'all ain't going to tell me, I'll just restart where I want to. Verse number 36. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Verse number 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Can you see some things happening right here? I mean, this guy that was in the pit, this guy that ended up in prison, this guy that now has been called up to the palace, the thing that God showed him way back. Now, he's been through a lot, hasn't he? Since Joseph was shown that dream that the moon and the stars would bow down to him, and since he had told his brothers that one day they would bow down to him, and since they hated him, and they ended up putting him in a pit and selling him into slavery, and then he ended up in Potiphar's house, and then he ended up in prison, and then he ended up being forgotten about. A lot of things have happened in Joseph's life, but I want you to notice something, that what God showed him is fixing to take place. Verse number 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, that word that starts with a Z. And he gave him to wife, that word. And the daughter, I'm not going to murder these names, of priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old. Now, with everything that we've read, in the short time that we've been studying about Joseph, you would think that he had to be at least 75. I mean, this dude has been through a lot. There's been a lot that's happened in his life. And then the Bible says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph was born two sons before the years of famine, which Asenath, the daughter of priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all of my toil and all my father's house. He said, God has been so good to me that the trouble that I've been through has just been overcome by the way that God is blessing me. The Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he hath made me forget all of my toil and all of my father's house. It's amazing how the things that has happened in our life that are terrible. I mean, they're burdensome, they're heavy, and how God can still do things in our life that overwhelms those. Some of y'all have been through some major difficulties in your life. You've been in some really bad situations. And when you think back to them and you can remember how bad they were, and they were horrible. But then when you think about how good God has been, isn't it amazing how God's goodness can overwhelm the bad that's happened in our life? And that's what Joseph is saying here in verse number 50. And Joseph, 51, verse number 52. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come. According as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was all over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all the lands. That's the end of chapter number 41. And as you can see, as we're getting into this, things are starting to take a turn. Joseph has been set up from the very bad, and now he's been set up. Pharaoh's told him, look, you're second to me. Nobody else has any rule over you other than me. I want us to think about one thing, maybe just in passing tonight, since I'm not commenting on the scripture. But just while we're passing, I want us to think about this. I believe that spiritually, and that in the age of grace, I believe that there will be a time of famine. I don't know when that time is going to start. I believe that it has changed a lot probably since some of you have been here on this earth. Some of you can remember when churches used to have revivals and there would be people standing outside of the windows just wanting to hear the gospel. You can remember when people would come to church when there was no air conditioning, there was no heat. There might have been an old stove set somewhere in the church. People would sit on hard pews and whatever it took in order. I mean, that's what they'd done for entertainment also. I know they wanted to go out to church, but people were hungry for the Word of God. People used to have revivals, and they'd be 15 or 20 people get saved, and they'd have a baptizing, and 15 or 20 more would get saved at the baptizing. And you know, nowadays, when you hear about somebody getting saved, it just thrills you because we don't hear of it anymore. It's almost like we've entered into a time of famine, and it's not because God's not able, but I believe it's because we have shut God out. I believe it's because that we've got to the place that God is not number one. And when I say that, I'm talking about as a whole, and I'm talking about personally in my life. And I think that we, just this week, there was a guy that comes in. He's been plumbing for years, and he come in, I believe it was yesterday, and I thought it was kind of awkward, but he come in and he had his phone on his hip, and he had a Casting Crowns song just blaring. And I've never talked to this guy about church or anything else. And he said, "Hey, have you ever heard this song?" And I listened just a minute. I said, "Yeah, I think I have." He said, "What about this one?" And I mean, he was flipping through songs as hard as he could go, wanting to know if I heard this song and heard that song. And I said, "Yeah, I think I've heard it." And I was just like, "This is really, really weird." And he looked at me and said, "Man, I can't help it. I just got saved last week." And I mean, I felt my heart just go boom, boom. I mean, it just absolutely thrilled me to death. He said, "I'm out here." He said, "I got it blaring out here in a truck." He said, "I want my helper to get saved." He said, I mean, this dude is like we should be. Because I was in there just wanting to get him his parts and y'all have a good one. Thank you. We'll see you next time, you know. But this dude was bouncing off the wall. He's like, "I just got saved last week. I got my radio blaring out there right now. I want my helper to hear it. I want him to get saved." And man, he was just tore up excited about it. And if we would stop for just a minute, we could get out of this famine that we're in. We could get out of this, you know. Here we're looking in this scripture and it's talking about 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. But I want you to know something, that God has provided for us by his grace and his mercy. There is plenty for us to share. And yes, this world is in a famine for the word of God, for the gospel. But you know what? He's allowed us to store up. We knew it was coming. We've been able to store some up. Now, are we going to go out and give it, or are we just going to sit on it? That guy was ready to give it. His name was Josh. I'm so excited for him. Like I said, I don't know his background. I'm not going to get into his background. It ain't none of my business. But I can tell you one thing. I've never heard the boy mention God before. And he come in this week, and I don't know what got a hold of him. I do know what got a hold of him. I don't know who got a hold of him. Yeah, I do too. I can't hear it that way. I don't know where he met someone that told him about Jesus, but I sure am ashamed that it wasn't me. I've known him for a long time, known him for several years. I've never talked to the boy about God. He talked to me about God before I talked to him about God. We've got it, church. There's a famine out there, and we can either sit back and just keep saying, "Well, there's a famine," or we can say, "You know what? We knew it was coming. God has been merciful and gracious to us, and let's go out and let's give this world the gospel." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. God, I do want to thank you for the encouragement that you gave me just this week by someone coming in and having a testimony of salvation. God, I pray that you'll forgive me, that I could just keep getting caught up in daily routine and daily things. And I know we have those things to do. But as we do those things, God, I pray that you'll help me to be sensitive to your spirit, be sensitive to your will, be sensitive to your plan. And God, when you put me in the places that I need to be telling someone else about Jesus Christ, that God, I will be ready and willing to do that. God, I want to thank you and praise you for the ones that we go to church with here. God, I want to thank you for the ones who are watching on Facebook. God, help us all to have a desire for lost souls like we've never had before. God, I don't know when you're going to call us up out of here. I believe it could be any day. But God, I do know that I've got some loved ones and some family and friends that are not ready for that. And God, I pray that you'll help me to have a fire in my bones to be going out and letting others know about Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for being with us on Facebook tonight. I appreciate you being with us. If you are still not comfortable with coming back to church, we'll be back on Facebook Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. If you are, we do our best to social distance and do all the things that we can to keep everybody safe. But either way, we'll be back here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.